That is all your prayers this morning. Got a message I'd like to share with you. I want to talk to you about giving this morning. Immediately when we think of that, we want to reach for our pocketbook. Think about out in the world when it's said in churches, the attitude is kind of get your pocketbook or if it's going to be fleeced. I'd like to go much deeper than that this morning. I'd like for us to think about a verse in Proverbs 23 and 26. The depth of all giving. My son, give me your heart. When we have given our heart to the Lord, that fountain from which flows my desires, my ambitions, my attitudes, when the Lord has control of that, He has control of it all. Thought about where it told us in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man went out into a field, found a treasure hid in a field, saw the value of it, said he went out and he sold everything that he had to be able to purchase that field. Start seeing some things tie together now. My treasure, when it's put in the Lord, when I've given him my heart, now he's able to start taking some control of me. Think about the verse that says, where my treasure is, that's where my heart's going to be also. Given myself, given my heart to the Lord. We hear the verse in the past, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. It's just your reasonable service for all that He's done for us. We heard last night about the talents. To one was given five, two, and one. That stirred my heart because the Lord's been dealing with me about it. There's a verse that is a warning to us. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. They, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, you're not wise. As I think about those talents, and I'm going to tell you right up front, I have been in that one category. Spent my life saying, I can't. Take a look at those that have the two and the five and say they can do it so much better than I can. Or be able to look behind me and say, but I'm still doing better than that one. It's not wise to compare ourselves. I think about the one talent for me and how often I said, I can't do it. And I think about how we're made up, how I was made up. I don't believe there could be anybody that had more of an inferiority complex than I did. And, you know, sometimes you could probably go to the psychiatrist and everyone go see if who you could blame for that. Can't blame it for anybody, on anybody. I just had a lot of things happen that, I think about even in school. I didn't eat lunch because I didn't want to be around people. Whenever I got up old enough that we've moved to Neosho with my parents, you know, I've never had a problem working. I'm willing to work, but there was something I could not stand, and that's the application and interview process for a job. It seemed like that what that was going to be was a time for them to tell me all the reasons that I wasn't going to get that job. As I look back, I realized it was something about myself. And I'll give you an instance. I went to a place in Neosho. Don't think I'll ever forget it. Went in there because I want to work. Well, I'm willing to work. So the way I approached it was this. I just started off with a question. I said, y'all don't need any help, do you? Sure enough, they didn't. I took care of that one. That was my attitude. And you know what? When we get saved and the Lord calls us, That's still who we are. Now he gives us one little talent. And he says, I want you to do something with this. And I can spend my time looking around saying, somebody else can do it much better. There may be people that have self-confidence. I can do this. The Lord really wants us to have it. Not in self. Because he says, without me, you can do nothing. I need to always remember that. But you know, he never intended for me to go through life on only that scripture. I need to come out on the other side with, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, I've begun to learn this thing is not about me. I had times where, before the Lord even dealt with me about standing up here, just in a camp meeting, I'm a trustee, and somebody says, oh, boy, it sure is hot in here. Would you go up and adjust that thermostat? Nuh-uh, it's in the front. And somebody's going to see me if I go up there. I'll get it after service. That was my attitude. It followed right on through. But the Lord started dealing with me, started showing me his love, his care for me. And one day he said, I want you to get up and share something with the people. I can't even adjust the thermostat. Can't get up. Everybody can do it better than I can. But I tell you, the Lord had been showing me his love. Amen. I've been feeling his presence to the point that I said, I can't do it. And he said, I know you can. I'm looking for a vessel. Will you provide me just a vessel? Amen. So, I remember that time where I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So scared, I said, I feel sure I'm probably going to pass out. And I remember thinking, how many men is it going to take to carry me off from there? Fear. Comparing myself by others. Lord, I can't do it. But he came along and he said, all you need to do is provide me a vessel. And I want to tell you what the message we heard last night, the call that was made, immediately we can start thinking about big things. Africa can come to your mind. Mexico. Oh, surely there's a big field. I want to tell you what the Lord's been dealing with me on. Because I feel like if we're not careful, we can have a lot of us caught in this one talent category. I can't do those big things. So I want to tell you this morning, one that we can all do, and I believe the Lord is asking us to take a look at it. Brother Stanley, 8 days before he passed away, sent a little letter to some in this congregation, not knowing that his time was close. But he said, there's something that is needed. And it is diligent on-timers.
That's right.
You know, we can look for big things. The Lord might call me to Africa.
That's right.
I was thinking about, before I move out, I need to move up.
That's right.
In these little things that I can do, before I can provide the Lord a vessel, I need to prove to him that I love him with all my heart. It came out there in Deuteronomy, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. There's nothing left. He's got it all. So I look at this one for myself. Where do I start? Do I take the challenge last night and say, I can't do it? Moving to Africa is just too big a thing for me. Let's start where we can. I thought about for myself. For this next year, I want to take that small thing and put it to practice in my life. I want to love the Lord enough that I can be diligent, on time.
Amen.
You know, I have a job that they're lenient. They'll give me a few times. But you know, if I keep on coming in late, it's just understood. Your heart's not there.
That's right.
And you might as well go ahead and find another place to go. You know, the Lord's not like that here. He keeps on calling. But I believe if I would have more of the fear of God on my heart, more of a reverence for Him, I need to see that opportunity of being in service.
Amen.
And showing Him that I care about it by being on time for this next year. Kind of lay this, the big things that I will quickly say I can't do, put them on the back burner and say, Lord, I'm going to start with the things I can. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen when we do that. Those others are going to fall in place on their own. I think about in my own life how He's led from this one where I can't even put in an application good. Well, I fixed that. I've been able to fix that. I don't quit. I stay with a job and I don't have to put in another application. And you know what? We need to do that same thing with the Lord.
That's right.
Got my heart in this thing now. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. There's a place I'd like for us to look at it in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in the 8th chapter. Talking about a time when there was a need to take up a collection, need to help out some folks that are in trouble. But it says in the 5th verse, this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Before we do anything else, before I do anything else, the very first thing I need to do is give myself to the Lord. On down there in the 12th verse, it tells us, and you know this is a consolation to me, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's a consolation to me, because I see myself as that little one talent man. Don't have much ability, but you know what? All I have to do is be faithful with that one. There's something else that I'm thankful for. Last night we heard about the end of that one talent. When the master came back, saw it had not been, nothing had been done with it, and called him into account. I'm so thankful that that time has not come for us yet. We have time now to say, Lord, I had it buried, but I'm going to dig that thing up, I'm going to clean it off now, and I'm going to make a change. We still have that opportunity. I'm so thankful that the Lord gave me that opportunity again. Don't have to bury it. Don't have to keep saying, I can't do it. Because I know I can't. When I told the Lord, I can't preach, He said, I know it. And you know what? Others will know it. But all that's going to matter is you provide a willing vessel. You be willing to be embarrassed if it must be, to work for me. So I want to be in that place. You know, we've heard this week about Moses. What a great man. What a job he had. How many times the Lord worked with him so close. But you know what? You remember where he started from? Let's take a look at that in Exodus 3. Because this gives me a little bit of hope for myself. In the 3rd chapter of Exodus, down about in the 9th verse, it says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. You know, my answer to that would be great. There's an answer coming for the needs of the people. But he says in the next verse, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now it turns. Now he's saying, I've got something for you to do. What was Moses' response? I knew it. I've been wanting that job all along. And here it comes. It's a good opportunity for me. I am the man for the job. He didn't do it. And to me, this is a great consolation for all of us that are one-talent folks. Because he said, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Out here taking care of these sheep out here in the wilderness. Just stopped here because I saw a burning bush that I was wondering about. And here he's saying, I can use you now to deliver these 600,000 men that could fight, plus women and children. You look at that and I would say, who am I? There is no way. But the Lord's trying to teach him a lesson. And it goes on down, move on into the fourth chapter. In the first verse, Moses replies to him, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. So the Lord goes along and tells him, throw down your rod, it turns into a snake, take it back up again. Put your hand in your shirt, pull it out, and you got leprosy. Put it back in again and it's gone. Well, you think that settles it for me. I'm ready to go. But he comes on down here in the 10th verse. And Moses said unto the Lord, and I can sure relate to him right here. Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken. It didn't change because you told me all the things that you could do. I couldn't talk before that time, and I still can't. This was Moses' reply. But the Lord's still working with him. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. This is that man that led the children of Israel, by God's help, through the wilderness. All that time, took care of them with God's help. But he had a little trouble at the beginning. And we can too until we submit to the Lord. I look at this next one. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh dumb, deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. So I look at this next verse in the 13th verse. And before when I've read that, I thought, now he has finally consecrated. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom? Him whom thou wilt send. But I have to say, must not have meant that. Because it says in that next verse, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. So what he was saying was, tell you what, you've missed it with this one. Why don't you go out and pick the one that you're intending to send? And it came to the place where the Lord said, the Lord was angry because he had reached that place. I have no desire to reach that level in my relationship with the Lord. I want to be able to live in a way to where quickly I'll tell the Lord, I can't do it. In myself, I can't do it. But I tell you what, here's a vessel that I will supply to you that you can use as you want to. Think about Paul. You know, if I could put him on a level, I'd say he was probably one of those five talents. But you know what? The Lord had to take all those abilities that he had and refine them. They were of no more use to him than I was when I said I can't do it. Because if I feel like I can do it within myself, it's not going to bring any glory to the Lord. So he's not interested in that one either. But with Moses being able to say, I can't, but with the Lord working with him, he was able to do it then. I'd like to look at a verse in Matthew 15. What do I have that I'd be able to give to the Lord? 15th chapter, in the 33rd verse, where he's saying, 32nd verse, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. So his disciples look at that in the 33rd verse and say, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And the question he gave them in the 34th is, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. This one talent mentality is not near enough. There's no way that this little ability that I have will be able to make any difference. But he took that, once the Lord moved in on the scene, he took that and it took care of the need that was at hand. You remember also where Elisha met up with a widow that had a huge burden. Her sons were to be sold. She had nothing to redeem them with. And he said, what do you have in your house? She just said, I don't have anything, or I would have taken care of purchasing my son's myself. But instead, you remember she said, I got this little cruse of oil here. Got this little, doesn't seem like much value. But you remember what he told her? Go out and get pots, borrow them. Whatever your faith will take in, you go out and borrow them, and now you start pouring this from one vessel to another. And it was enough that she was able to redeem her two sons. I think about that for ourselves, for me, to stop looking at that one talent that I have and no ability and say, Lord, I'll offer it to you. You go take it and use it as you see best. Brother Larry Abbott has told us in the past, God's not looking for my availability, my ability. He's looking for availability. That I would just offer him, here's this vessel. You use it when you want to. I'll keep it clean when you don't want to use it and just have it ready for you to pick up at any time you want to. There's a place in Exodus that I'd like for us to look at in the 35th chapter. You remember where God has been speaking to Moses for several chapters, telling him, here's exactly how I want you to build the tabernacle. Now we're needing material. And I thought about that. They're out in the wilderness. No stores. Everything that they have to be able to build a tabernacle, each one of them has carried it there. They brought it. You remember when it said they spoiled the Egyptians? The Egyptians just handed stuff over to them, and they brought it. Well, in the 35th chapter, and in the 5th verse, Moses now has heard it from the Lord. It's a job bigger than he can take on for himself. He's bringing it to the people. He says in the 5th verse, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. And here's the important part. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it of the Lord, gold, silver, brass. And he moves on down here, all the things that he's going to need. Well, this is just Moses telling them that the Lord has spoken to him. The people are going to have to make a decision what they're going to do with that. Down in the 20th verse, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Going to have to make up a mind now. Do I have a willing heart? Haven't had an income since I came out here into the wilderness. Been saving this up, planning on being able to use it whenever I get over where home is. But now the Lord comes along and says, I want a tabernacle. Are you willing? And I'll only take it of those that are willing. So it says they departed. And then it says in the 21st verse, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. In that next verse it says, they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted. Willing to give. Not looking at what I'm going to be missing after I have given this, but seeing this thing and my heart's in it now, I'm willing to give. And it goes on down in that next chapter, in the 6th, let's look in the 5th verse. The men that were appointed to put these things together, to do the construction of it, this verse says something about them. All these things were being donated for the construction of the tabernacle. And it says in the 4th verse, all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Now, you know, these men could have said, we'll just let it keep on coming in. We'll set it back. But instead, they had a heart that, hey, we only need what's necessary to build this. So they came to Moses and said, we've got enough now. And it says in the 6th verse, would to God that we would run into this problem today. Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. The people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Need y'all to stop now. My heart's in this thing. I'm no longer this one talent man. I only have this one little thing, and it really wouldn't make a difference anyhow. Everybody's got their heart in it. I'm willing to give. Think about the verse that says in 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, where it tells about God loving the cheerful giver. Because it also lets us know that it's got to be willing. 2 Corinthians in the 9th and the 6th verse says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly." That is, with my one talent mentality, it's not going to make much difference anyhow, so I think I'll just go bury it. "He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Think of the other verse that tells us, "Freely ye have received, freely give."
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you today, we don't have to go back to Moses' time to see this happen. A few weeks ago, there was a burden expressed. He's not here today, so I can feel free to talk about it. That Brother Marty needed a vehicle replacement. Working out in the work of the Lord, his was not as dependable. He didn't say it. He would have kept on driving that one until it quit. But you know, as people were notified, congregations were notified, I love free will. He loves a cheerful giver. Nobody was forced. And how it had been put out was like for him to be able to have it by the time the camp meeting season starts. So maybe if anybody wants to give by the 1st of May, we'll be able to look around and see what can be found. Well, Brother Lonnie was taking the money, and I checked with him about a week before it came to an end. And we had about enough to get a Geo Metro. And I wondered, because I thought about the timing. Boy, this is a tough time. From the president down, he'll let you know the economy's tough. But here's a need, so we'll put it out. I'll tell you what, it touched my heart. We've heard this said before, there's nothing like the saints except just some more of them. Because when that thing was ended, he had the vehicle with enough money to pay the tags, the taxes, the insurance, and some money to get around to meetings in. We don't have to go back to Moses. There's some people still taking that one talent and say, "Well, it's not much, but I'll tell you what, here you go." They have a willing heart. We saw it back then. There's another example I'd like for us to look at in 1 Chronicles of David. And he didn't just go out and say, "Well, y'all need to give." But he gave. First of all, from his own heart. 2 Chronicles in the 29th. I'd like to just look at this for a little bit. Because I'd like for this to be an encouragement to us each one. If we've got just one, go ahead and work with it. Because when he comes back, he'll be just as ready to make two out of it as he was with those that had five. In the 29th chapter, and then the 2nd verse. I'm sorry, maybe I said 2 Chronicles, it's in 1st. So we do still have to be willing to be embarrassed. 1 Chronicles in 29 and the 2nd. Here's David. "Now I have prepared with all my might," sounds like his heart's in it, "for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold." Going on down through there, the 3rd verse, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver." First of all, before I put this out to others, he's saying, "I had my heart in it. I gave." And you know, the people needed to see that. for them to be interested in giving. You know, he could have said, I'm the king. I know how much is needed. I'm going to tax the people. We'll be able to raise this amount. But instead, he has a question for them. Down in the fifth, toward the end of it, the gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And it goes on down in the end of that sixth verse that they offered willingly. In the ninth verse, it tells about not only did they do it willingly, it said the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Now, I've thought about this. Have you ever rejoiced on April the 15th that you could willingly send your taxes in? It's demanded of you. And if you would have been in that category, you'd have sent them earlier. When you wait to the last, it's because, boy, I hate to part with this. But he wasn't doing that. He was saying it's willing service. You want to send it in? You want to help with this? And then it comes on down in the 14th verse of that. You know, after they did it, they didn't say, well, Lord, you owe me a blessing. I've really helped you out. Well, what he said was in the 13th, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. I look at this and I see a humility that came from it. Who am I that I'm even able to offer willingly? There was a time in our country where some men offered themselves. They were called Minutemen. There's going to be a need for battle, but there's also a need to take care of your farm. So these men said, we can do them both. We'll go home and take care of the needs around the house, but on a minute's notice, you call us, and I can drop those things. It's almost like they had those temporal things in a loose hand. Thought about that for myself. Am I living that way? To where all I need is the Lord to nudge me, and I can drop all these temporal things that are important to me because my heart's set on something else. There was something that Brother Sammons told us years ago. It stuck with me. He said there was, in this town, in this village, men fixing to leave, heading out to battle. They're marching in formation, going through the streets, heading out. Said this old woman came out of her house carrying a broom. Said she swung it over her shoulder and stepped right in line with them and started walking. And there were people said, what are you doing? There's no way you can help win the battle with that broom. Her answer said, that's true, but they'll know whose side I'm on. I think about that. Take that one talent. They'll know whose side you're on. Let's be able to say, Lord, I don't have much, but I'm willing to give what I have. Got a couple more scriptures that I'd like for us to look at. In Isaiah, in the 6th chapter, who's willing? And it's not for me to look around. It's for me to examine myself. Here Isaiah is saying he had this vision. Said, I saw the Lord, in the first verse, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it goes on down and it says what an impact that had on him. The result was, in the 5th verse, he said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. It made him realize that one talent, don't have much that I can offer. Need some cleaning up. Need some purifying. I'm undone. A man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. But something happened. It said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And now here comes a question. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And now he says, here am I, send me. The purifying has taken place, and it's important that that happen. There's another one that shows us the contrast for that. In Ezekiel, he said, I looked for a man that would stand in the gap and would make up the hedge. Do you remember where Moses did that with God? When God was coming down, saw these people that had made the golden calf, and said, Moses, step back. I'm fixing to destroy them. Moses stood in the gap. He said, Lord, don't do it. These are your people. What will the Egyptians say? Today, the Lord is saying, I look for a man to stand in the gap.
Yes.
Is he also going to have to say, but he only had one talent, and it was buried? Because he said, couldn't find one. And it went on to say, therefore, I poured out my indignation upon them. The wrath of God came on people. Think about the sins of those around us today. Am I concerned enough to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I realize I don't have any abilities of my own, but I'm willing to do whatever I can for you. Think of the verse that says, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh, he finds him so doing. There's a song that says, Jesus, use me, and no, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'd like for us to sing a song, number 245. Starts out with, since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? But I'd like for us to think about something. That third verse, we always sing it. Though he may call across the sea. Back to that last night where he's going to call for some of us to move. I want to tell you where he first wants us to move. I'd like for us to, when we sing that third verse, instead of saying across the sea, I'd like for us to say, though he may call to Sunday school, with Jesus I will go. It starts in some lowly places. I've got to prove my love to the Lord, and this is where it'll start. I desire your prayers.
Praise.